So, see the picture of Moses pointing. God gives you these commandments today. You, personally. You are the ones who are to have no other gods before this God, and you are the ones who are not to misuse God's name. You are the ones who are to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy and honor your father and mother. You are not to kill or commit adultery or steal or bear false witness. You are the ones who are not to covet anything, anything that belongs to your neighbor. When Exodus says you here, it means you individually, singular. Our Bible stories from Exodus over the last few weeks, if you've been following along with us, have been talking about the Israelites, the people of God, as a group. As families, they slaughtered lambs in preparation for the Passover. As a host, like an army, they marched through the Red Sea on dry ground. The whole congregation complained about not having food and quarreled with Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. In those stories, as is true in much of the scriptures, the focus is on the group, on the community. Scripture does this most of the time. In fact, I know I've preached here probably more than once, that often in scripture text, the meaning of the word you that's used is not singular, but what we said in my native state of Virginia, y'all. Or yins, as y'all say around here. But the grammar of the Ten Commandments is a bit different. The word you here is singular, meaning that God is addressing his people as individuals. And so with that you, God is claiming each one of us for life with God and for a relationship. I think the meaning of that singular you suggests that while there are many things that we can do with each other and many things that we can do for each other in relationship to God, there are some things that we cannot do, that we are required to do on our own, things that we cannot do instead of one another. On any given Sunday, I can pray for you, and you can pray for me. And we can pray together. But I cannot honor the Sabbath in your stead, and you cannot honor the Sabbath for me. In this way, the commandments summon us to personal responsibility and accountability before God. In some church traditions, the Ten Commandments are read every single week before the confession of sin at the beginning of the service, so that worshipers can use them to reflect on what they need to confess that day. And I think this is important to note, because we can sometimes forget that the commandments are meant for us personally. Now, in my experience, often the way that church people, because many of us have the commandments memorized or can name at least, you know, two or three of them off the top of our heads, the way that church people tend to try to get away from the personal address of the commandments is by getting focused not on whether or not we're doing them, but on whether other people know them and are doing them. So someone starts a campaign to post a picture of Ten Commandments in a school or tries to carve them in a rock in front of a courthouse because people should know the rules and society needs better morality and kids these days. It all sounds very decent and good, but in reality, wondering about whether other people know the commandments can be a way that our sinful selves try to sneak out from under God's word. And by focusing on what others are doing, we try to avoid the reality that God is speaking to us and inviting us, you, me, to respond. And the truth is, there's enough in these commandments and enough in ourselves to fund a lifetime of reflection without having to worry about anybody else. In Luther's Small Catechism, a little book in our Lutheran tradition that helps explain the basics of the faith, Martin Luther interprets the commandments in terms of their positive meaning, and not only their negative prohibitions, as good things that we are to do, not just behaviors we are to avoid. So in Luther's interpretation, the commandment, "You shall not kill," means, and I quote, "We are to fear and love God so that we neither endanger nor harm the lives of our neighbors, but instead support and help them in all of life's needs." Consider that. The commandment not to kill is not just a prohibition against murder. It's a commandment that applies when I get into a car to drive. Remember, it's a two-ton bomb, my mom always said to me. It applies about whether or not I'm going to wear a mask to prevent the spread of a deadly virus and signal to my neighbors that their lives matter. The "you" in "you shall not kill" means you, and it means today. When I teach the Ten Commandments in confirmation classes with 12 and 13-year-olds, I will often have them write their own translation of the commandments using the catechism as a guide. One year, and I think this was about 2008, which is relevant for the slang they used, I had a pretty big class and the kids got really into it. There had been several high-profile bullying cases, and the news and the schools were just beginning to form institutional responses to that bullying. That class translated the commandment against killing as, "You shall not tease someone so meanly that people would rather die than come to school." Brilliant. When it came to the commandment against adultery, which often, at least on first read, seems like it might not have any applicability to 12 and 13-year-olds, since "you shall not commit adultery" sounds like "don't cheat on your spouse," and 12 and 13-year-olds in our culture do not get married, but in its positive form, in Luther's interpretation, is a command to live pure and chaste and decent lives. Those kids translated it, "don't be a playa." Thoughtful and clever. Those kids understood that the commandments had something to say to them and had meaning for them. The commandments are for you. Studying and reflecting on them will learn just how deeply God wants to dig into their lives. But also mark this. With that pronoun, that singular pronoun "you," comes another singular pronoun. I. As in, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Before God gave his people the commandments, God reminded them that they did not save themselves. When we live with the commandments on a daily basis, we learn that we live in the shadow of God's great I am. We learn that our lives do indeed fall short of all that God intends, and we need God's forgiveness and to remember God's promise of redemption. Only Jesus fulfilled the commandments perfectly. He gives us his faith and his grace each day so that when we mess up and fall short, we keep on being raised up to study and hear God's gracious "you" again. With that grace, redeemed from slavery and redeemed from sin, the commandments themselves are a gift. Who we are matters. What we do matters. Each one of us. You, singular, are connected to the great I am that is our God. And it seems to me that in this time, when between pandemic and politics so much is confusing, so much seems to be decaying, It seems to me that that singular you attached to that singular I offers a great gift of clarity. A gift of where we can focus our attention. A gift of new good ways to live. Amen.